diving into a rising, arcing line of balloons. The penetrator destroyed them with wingtips and propeller blades. The result splashed his airplane and himself with flu virus. In the distance between the first and second balloons, Mark contemplated his situation. Even in this day of miracle drugs, there were always a few who died from influenza. Would a microscopic crystal accomplish what bullets had so far failed to do? But Mark dismissed the worrisome thoughts as the second target splashed open on the leading edge of his left wing. All he needed to do was polish off Thornsby's launch site and fly back to the stronghold. Once on the ground, the virus could be identified, isolated, and defeated. The powers of Shotuka and those of modern medicine, if necessary, made the risk safe enough to hazard. At least, it seemed a good idea when the penetrator first reasoned it out. Then he began to take heavier ground fire. A line of holes appeared along the cowling. A sudden spray of oil spattered the windshield. Black smoke belched from the exhaust, and the manifold pressure dropped rapidly. The oil temperature gauge indicated far over to the right of the red line. The helio-courier gave a coughing lurch, and the engine died. Mark was flying a dead airplane. With the power off, struggling with the sluggish controls, the penetrator set the helio-courier into a slow spiral, seeking a place to let down. As he did, his mind replayed his earlier thought, this time to a different tune. Stranded on this island, how soon could he expect to reach a competent doctor? Could the virus be identified? Did treatment even exist? Sweat broke out on Mark's brow, and his palms felt slick and clammy as he urged his wounded craft toward some sort of safety. How soon would symptoms occur? Where could he land? What chance did he have?